I'm Amanda Anderson. I'm from Monate Global. It's great being in the KGRT Treasure State.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome to A New Day with Susan, your host, transformation and mindset coach Susan Yockey, bringing you daily inspiration, strategies, and tools to empower you to take action in achieving your goals.
Hello, Susan Yockey here, your host, A New Day with Susan, and I have some really amazing, courageous women with me today, and they're here to share about a project, a new book that's coming out here this April, and I'm just been waiting all week to get these ladies on here and share their stories, get their message out, and learn. You know, it's all about educating and inspiring and creating changes in the world that make a difference, that empower you and inspire you to take action in your own lives. So today I have with me, I'll start with the first one, because this is my first time doing an interview with more than one other person. And we'll start out with Shannon. She's the one who's headed up this project, what she's been up to. So she shared with me, as a child and an adult in poverty, Shannon understood the struggles that many face today, the pain and humiliation of not having the basic essential needs to live. She has served individuals and communities for over 20 years. As a child on public assistance, they had a social worker that would come to the house to check on them. Shannon's compassion and caring is what influenced her to become a social worker today and help others. Shannon had a coach come into her life and tell her to quit playing small with her gifts. Shannon was inspired to create a project to educate and encourage those that want to come out of poverty by showing them that it will be difficult, but not impossible. So this brings about a new book, The Smell of Poverty. So first off, I just want to welcome all of you ladies to my show, and thank you for the time that you're giving me. And I'm just excited, you know, about this book that you guys are publishing that's coming out soon. Shannon, why don't you share with us, when is that book coming out? When can people get their hands on it?
Well, first, definitely thank you for having us on, and definitely thanking Jacqueline for setting this up. But I appreciate you having us here, Susan. The book is actually going to be released April 15th. So April 15th, everyone will be able to get their hands on it, their eBooks and their nooks and crannies or all of those things on it. So we're definitely excited about it.
I bet all of you guys are. So how many authors are in this book?
16. I call it the Sweet 16. So it's 16 authors, Sweet 16, especially we're dealing with March Madness right now. It seems like it'll probably be a trend. We'll do that every time, be 16 and have it talked about in March, so we can kind of keep in line with that. So yes, it's 16 authors.
So what inspired you to want to create this project?
Well, it really started, it happened while I was broadcasting. Ideas usually come to me like that, and I'll get an idea, and I call it a good idea going from good to great. So the way we did it is I was sharing with everyone, because a lot of people know that I'm a cancer survivor, and I had shared when I was asking for sponsorships for the Survive and Thrive event to be able to get sponsors. So I wrote a sponsor letter, connected with Rachel, and she, you know, we were trying to, you know, figure out how we can get sponsors for our project. So I wrote a sponsor letter, and in my sponsor letter, I shared a little bit about my survivorship and how and why I did what I did, and that I was into, you know, into social work and in nonprofit. So I mentioned that I was, you know, a child growing up in poverty, despite having cancer, you know, as an adult, I still continue to give and support community. So when we were talking and broadcasting, I said, well, you know, poverty, and I said, well, poverty has a smell. And I said, I don't know if you guys ever smelled it, but dealing with low income clientele base, there's a smell that will come, and I've smelled it before. And it's not just the same person. It's different people, different times of the day. And when you would smell it on children, you would smell it. And after a while, it was like, that's a poverty smell. It comes from, you know, old laundered clothes or old carpets or old furniture or, you know, garbage or things just in the home that's very musty. And the smell is bounced from one person to a different person. So it was different people. So I was live and I was sharing that with everyone. And I said, well, you know, there is a smell. There's a smell of poverty. And then we started talking about it. People commented. And then I said, yes, we need to do a book and call it The Smell of Poverty. So that's kind of the short version of how we got here.
What does courage mean to you?
For me, courage is coming on and sharing your poverty story. It's getting up and talking about what are some of those things that we like to keep quiet or we don't want to share because we feel that people are going to subject us to ridicule or they're going to not accept us into their groups. So for me, courage is getting up and standing up and talking about a subject matter that is not favorable, but still doing it because you want to help those who are hiding in that particular subject matter.
Nice. And how can you share a time in your life where you felt the most courageous?
I would say the most courageous, it's probably going to sound like, okay, that's interesting, was basically being able to go and either use food stamps to get your children food, regardless to what it was, that who was in the line behind you, how many people was in the line, or using WIC and at the time pulling out the coupons where you had a big line behind you. And you did it anyway because you knew that regardless to what, you needed to feed your children and you needed to get it done. And no one else's thoughts was going to block that courage from getting up and doing it anyway.
I mean, remember back in the day when they had paper food stamps and they're sitting there counting them all out on the, oh my gosh, I totally remember being
on the counter.
Yep. I want to acknowledge you for just your contribution in making a difference, not only just in your community, but for the world, and your inspiration to the children for good role modeling and what is possible for parents who are ready to take on that courage and move beyond poverty.
You know, again, thank you for the opportunity and being here. And I would say the one thing that I would just want people to know is that poverty is one of those things that as a child, you had no control over. If you were born into poverty like I was, you didn't know you were going to be born into poverty. But the one thing that I would say as a child in poverty, growing up in some of the typical, as you would say, classic things that you say, this is your poster child for poverty. Growing up in some of those environments and around those things that you can still break out. You can still get that opportunity to do more. And as Dr. Tammy would say, moving in the direction of more, you can have more regardless of where you came from. So I would tell them that all you have to do is work at it and connect with good people who can support you and give you that good information and just keep pushing on through it. So, but like I say, it's difficult, but it's not impossible.
Yeah. We're heading out onto a break right now, and coming up, we will be speaking with Rachel Solomon, who's going to share a little bit of her story and what she put in the book.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom now.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I heard the signs before.
Depression.
Alcohol abuse.
Isolation.
Giving away possessions.
If somebody asked me what was wrong,
I would shrug it off.
I didn't want to say the word suicide.
I was
ashamed.
Then a loved one asked, "Are you suicidal?"
It was so hard, but I said yes.
They probably saved my life.
When it comes to suicide, the only wrong thing to say is to say nothing at all.
Need help? Text MT to 741741 or call 800-273-TALK. Brought to you by DPHHS and aired by the NBA.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Treasure State Radio. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Treasure State Radio. Best rates, great results. Go to www.treasurestateradio.com. Click Advertise with us. That's treasurestateradio.com.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back to A New Day with Susan. I'm your host, Susan Yaki. Today I'm interviewing four women who I say are courageous and vulnerable as they share their stories, true life stories of triumph, empowerment, heartache, and betrayal in a new book called The Smell of Poverty, which launches April 15th. Who I am speaking with now is Rachel Solomon, a young mother, author, speaker, radio host, and financial teacher, enthusiastic about combining her love of creating with her love of money management. Rachel believes she has a knack for helping people understand the skills of money management, eager to share her knowledge with parents so they too can teach their young children the easy way to learn skills. Rachel writes financial literacy children books that teach earning, saving, investing, and giving, along with two radio shows that she hosts. Thank you for being here today. I really I want to acknowledge you for the work that you do. And I'm excited to find out what does courage mean to you?
Oh, wow. Courage means a lot to me. I feel like I have had to find courage my whole life. But how I defined it is doing things that you're not comfortable with, it creates courage, and courage creates character. So that's always how I defined it. But there are so many things in my life, so many times I've had to step out and do something that was not my normal self. So yeah. I always feel like that builds my character and makes me have a little more courage than I normally would.
Yeah. And could you share with us a time in your life that was probably the most courageous moment for you?
Yeah, I think the most courageous time in my life would be kind of like Jacqueline said, just, you know, going into business for myself. But for me, it was more acknowledging my truth and telling people my story, because there's time in everybody's story, or there's always a part of your story that you're kind of embarrassed of.
Yeah.
Or there's that part that you didn't tell anybody and it was kind of a secret. Yes. And so here you are, not just telling friends and family, but you're telling strangers. And then it's weird because when you tell strangers, you have friends and family say stuff like, I didn't know that that happened, or I didn't know you was going through that, or why didn't you say anything? And at the time when you was going through it, you really probably didn't think that you could, or if you thought that you could, you was embarrassed and ashamed of it.
Yeah.
So I feel like just telling my story, my financial story and my life story, there was just parts of my story that I didn't want to share, and I did. And I felt that gave me courage, and I showed courage just by doing that. So, yeah.
Nice. Thank you. So what inspired you to be an author in this book, The Sweet Poverty?
Well, for me, I feel like it's in line with my purpose. So my purpose, I feel, is to teach financial literacy to kids, because I don't feel like I came from a poor family. Like, we weren't impoverished. We were more like middle class. But I didn't learn anything financially. So when it was my turn, to make all the decisions, I made the wrong decisions because I didn't know the right decisions to make.
Yeah.
And I can't necessarily blame it on my parents, because they didn't necessarily know what to teach me either. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't teach me anything, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And
older parents, our generations and older than us, money is a hush-hush topic. That's not something you just go around telling everybody. I mean, now with the millennials, they talk about everything, so it's not a big deal. But with the older, you know, older people, that was just something you just didn't talk about.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's my husband. go ahead.
So you understand what I'm saying then?
Oh yeah, so I do.
When I saw that Shannon was writing this story, I wanted to tell my story, because we always say poverty has a different look on everybody. It's not the same story. You know, not everybody was broken or poor or, you know, living at a low means as a young person. You may have, you know, had everything you needed, but like my story, as you got older, you just didn't make all the right decisions. And so I felt like this was an opportunity to tell a different side of the same story.
I love it. Yeah, that's really great. And you're right. There is like a different story from different aspects and points of view of what poverty looks like or smells like. you know, I mean, heck, I always say my mission is to eradicate generational poverty. And people are like, well, what's generational poverty? Well, it's our thinking. It's that stinking thinking. And, you know, if you come from a background or a childhood of poverty, you don't get that stuff when you're little. But when you are an adult, it's like you get stuck in areas of life and it doesn't make sense until you start unraveling that onion and really start getting like, where did these old stories come from?
Yep.
So awesome. What message do you want to get out to the world, because anybody could actually tap into this show from around the world and download or go to the podcast and check it out. So we want to get your guys' book out there.
One, I think that this book is really going to be a page turner. So it's a really good read. You have different stories from different people of different ages. I think one lady's over 100 years old in this book.
Oh my.
So
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to get And the fact that these are real life, real true stories, they're going to resonate with you a little more. You're going to feel it. You're going to understand more, you know, what the person is talking about. And really what I want to say is for people to go out on April 15th and get the book.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yes, and then I want them to tell us their poverty stories. We've been using a hashtag, the smell of poverty.
Ooh,
and then
people okay.
Here, just share your story. So even if you're reading the book and you love, you know, one part of somebody's story and it resonates with you, tell us, you know, that it resonated with you and why, and, you know, how you relate to it. And yeah, that's what I want people to know.
Awesome. I love it. So April 15th, the new book, The Smell of Poverty, comes out. Lots of goodies. I think people are going to just be inspired, empowered, and to probably even take action in their own lives. So that'll be really great. So I'm about to wrap this up. If you guys have anything that you want to share with before we do, what is there anything that you'd like to add, or where can people get the book?
Yes, people can go on Amazon to get the book. And I think on that first day, the 15th, if they get a Kindle version, it's only 99 cents. So that's the day we really want people to go out and get it, on April 15th. Like I said, it's only 99 cents, but it's only for that one day. And that's the first day, the main release date. And then, I don't know, I'm at My Little Banker. So if they want to find me anywhere on any social media, you can find me at My Little Banker. That's my book series.
Okay. Far. We'll be right back after a few messages. Next up, we will be speaking with Jacqueline McKeever, one of the authors of The Smell of Poverty.
I've been shooting since I was young. It's something I enjoy, and it's something my father and I used to do. There was a time I was going through some things. I wasn't feeling like myself, and my friend noticed and asked me if he could hold on to my guns temporarily. At first, I was a little shocked, but I agreed. I think he saved my life that day.
If a loved one is depressed, ask to temporarily store guns away from home. Need help? Text MT to 741-741 or call 800-273-TALK. Sponsored by DPHHS and aired by the NBA.
Have you achieved that New Year's resolution that you set this year? How about any of the goals that you have set for yourself? Are you procrastinating in achieving those goals out of fear that you'll fail, or maybe you're just not worthy or deserving of that kind of success? Hi, I'm Susan Yockey, transformation and mindset coach, and I'm here to help break through those limiting beliefs and old patterns that are holding you back from living your life's fullest potential. Located here in Helena, Montana, call me at 406-219-1495.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Meryl Streep. There's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., but it is almost entirely preventable. Screening finds polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. If you're over 50, get screened for colorectal cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to A New Day with Susan. I'm your host, Susan Yockey, and today I'm interviewing four courageous women who share their stories of poverty in the new book, The Smell of Poverty. You can order yours by visiting Get Yours on Amazon. Jacqueline, who founded Route to Victory in 2016 to help people who, like her, faced many booms in life that affected their financial health and wellness. Jacqueline had also grown up in poverty with her grandparents, who were also on the public assistance program and public housing. She learned about credit, budgeting, career development, and strategic planning for success through her own experience. She decided to join the fight to educate and prevent or change outcomes of the lives of people. Today, she equips people with the tools and resources that not only affect lives of individuals, but their communities as well.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. How's it going?
Well, it's the snow's starting to finally melt here, so I'm super excited about that. I believe that I belong in another state where it's nice, toasty, warm. Maybe I'll go stay with Shannon in the winter next year, but yeah. That's you.
Oh, I'm doing well. It is 70 degrees, I think, outside. So I got up and took my victory walk. So I'm good.
Awesome. First off, I just want to congratulate you on the book that you're a part of. It's a huge project. I bet you're super excited about it.
I am. It's so awesome.
So what does courage mean to you?
Courage means to me, it just means to me, courage is just stepping out of the norm, or stepping out beyond the stereotype, you know, because sometimes we have gifts or talents or positions that we should be in or we're destined to be in. I don't think that when we reach that potential, it happens by accident. I think that it's ordained by God for us to reach that standard. And courage is when you don't accept the stereotype or the opinions that society tries to put on us, and you instead listen to the voice, which I believe is the voice of God talking to you, and you step out on faith. That's courage.
That's right. I love that. Yeah. So could you share with us, how has courage been in, like, what's the biggest area that you could think of where courage showed up for you in life?
Okay, I'm gonna give you one. It's been a lot of areas, but one of the biggest thing was creating Route to Victory. Route to Victory is a nonprofit created to help individuals, and I'm not gonna go through the whole spiel, but that was the biggest thing of courage, because that meant I was stepping outside of the introvert world into the extrovert world, because I was no longer hiding. Because I have a lot of talents that God has blessed me with. And in order for the business to thrive, I had to step out on faith and connect with people and talk to people and let people see who I am and see my scars.
Yeah.
And then let them know, despite the fact that I have scars, that I can still be victorious because I got up again. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah. Why don't you tell just a little snippet of what you've got in the book?
Okay. So I call them booms. Booms are period of in my life that were uncontrollable and unexpected. So I call them booms because when a bomb goes off, it destroys most things around you and everything has to completely reset. So that's why. So I share the story of me being a child, about how I was raised by my great grandparents, but in my eyes, I was not poor because we didn't lack anything. until some booms started happening. And then those booms caused a chain reaction, or I think the term is inertia, when inertia happened in a life. And I share those, and I share how little bitty tasks can conquer even those booms that happen, how you have to keep going, how you have to fight whatever with the last breath that you have, and then eventually you will win. You'll see the finish line.
Nice. Nice. So what inspired you to write in this book, and what is the message that you're hoping people will get?
What inspired me to write in the book is the fact that, number one, Route to Victory Health is a nonprofit. So the reason why I was created is to help the community. And 70% of women and children are in poverty in this nation. So knowing that fact, and knowing my upbringing, and knowing that, yes, the title is called Smell of Poverty, but I like to say that the smell is a symptom, and poverty is a disease. Yeah. And in order for us to fight it, we have to do everything that we can in order to reduce those numbers, to inspire, to give hope, to let people know that they can triumph despite how everything looks. So that's why I participated, because I want to be able to share that with individuals.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I just want to thank you for your time and acknowledge you for stepping into your courage and being the voice for people who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to do so, and being that beacon of light that will guide people into or out of poverty. So thank you for what you contribute to our world.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Don't go too far. We're going to head out onto a break. Coming up next, Wanake M. Brown Balin is our next interview. She's the fourth speaker that I will be speaking with today about the new book, The Smell of Poverty, being published on April 15th. And you can get a copy for one day for only 99 cents. Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Treasure State Radio. Great rates at treasurestateradio.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor a new day with Susan radio show at treasurestateradio.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business at treasurestateradio.com.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to A New Day with Susan. I'm Susan Yaki, your host, and today I'm interviewing four courageous women who share their stories of poverty and what it was like for them, now making a difference in their communities and the world with their new book, The Smell of Poverty. 16 authors shared their true life stories of what poverty is like for them. Wanake M. Brown Balin, a minister prophetess with Women of the Word Ministry, a nonprofit that helps to fill the gaps within their communities through classes and training with the Alpha Women WIMA One program. They are teaching women that they are the glue of their families, and what they communicate affects the entire family. So they can communicate properly to create stronger families and communities. Wanaki's story of poverty is different and will bring a new light to the word of poverty. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So, Wanaki, what does courage mean to you?
To stand up and do what is expected of you, no matter what. You might lose people from your lives, you might lose your family members, but if you're doing what's right, what's expected of you, what's morally right, then you're living in courage.
Awesome. Could you share with us maybe an area of your life where you were probably the most courageous?
It would have to be in my natural job. I am a minister and prophetess spiritually, but I do have a natural job, and it is most difficult. So it would have to be one of the incidents that happened over the past 18 years, dealing with people from all different walks of life, different mentalities, different backgrounds, to stand strong in what simply is right. So the courageous moments happen for me in the job that I hold naturally, more so than what I do in ministry, dealing with people and who are anxious, nervous, sometimes not even ready to continue with life. So
yeah.
One incident over the past 18 years, and there are so many I could tell you about.
I bet.
Exhibits courage to simply stand up to do what is morally right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And first off, congratulations on the book being launched on April 15th. So would you like to share a little snippet of what you are authoring in that book?
Yes and no. I want to say that poverty comes in different sizes and in different shapes. And whatever poverty that you're dealing with, it is real to you. I almost thought maybe my story wouldn't be good enough to go into the book. And then I had to rethink that. It is definitely good enough to go into the book because it was very real for me. And it affected me in ways that not even my family members knew. So. Yeah. This is such an awakening, and it's a releasing, and it's a way to freedom for me and my story. And I know that there are other people who had this particular type of poverty and didn't know what to do as well, because it's just not, I don't know, for lack of a better word, the normal type of poverty, but it is a form of poverty in itself, and it is real to you,
right.
And you're dealing with it every day. So yeah. I do want people to understand that it comes in different sizes and different shapes, and it's just as painful as physical poverty. Maybe I said too much, but it is mind-boggling. So I'm very happy to have my story in the book, and I'm so happy for all of the other authors in the book. And I think the book is just going to be phenomenal, and it's going to help people to freedom.
Yeah. We're going to head out onto a break right now. When we come back, I will share with you some of Montana's own statistics on poverty and where we stand in our own smell of poverty, a little history of myself and what poverty was like for me.
This is Sergeant Jones. Please respond. I was separated from my squad, requesting backup. Anyone, please respond. I'm all alone here.
You're not alone. If you're hurting or considering suicide, call for backup. 800-273-TALK or text MT to 741-741. We need you. Your family needs you. Suicide is not the answer. Get help. Sponsored by DPHHS and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
achieved that New Year's resolution that you set this year? How about any of the goals that you have set for yourself? Are you procrastinating in achieving those goals out of fear that you'll fail, or maybe you're just not worthy or deserving of that kind of success? Hi, I'm Susan Yockey, transformation and mindset coach, and I'm here to help break through those limiting beliefs and old patterns that are holding you back from living your life's fullest potential. Located here in Helena, Montana, call me at 406-219-1495.
I've been shooting since I was young. It's something I enjoy, and it's something my father and I used to do. There was a time I was going through some things. I wasn't feeling like myself, and my friend noticed and asked me if he could hold on to my guns temporarily. At first, I was a little shocked, but I agreed. I think he saved my life that day.
If a loved one is depressed, ask to temporarily store guns away from home. Need help? Text MT to 741-741 or call 800-273-TALK. Sponsored by DPHHS and aired by the NBA.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to A New Day with Susan. I'm your host, Susan Yockey. So I wanted to share just some numbers that I pulled up from talkpoverty.org, a 2017 report, with the population of Montana being 1,018,105,000, with 135,638 of that population being in poverty. Of those are 14.8% of children that live in poverty and 26.1% Native Americans who live in poverty. And even though we don't have a huge population and we're a rural state, poverty is different for everybody. And I know for myself, as I was growing up, I didn't have anyone teaching me about how to be responsible with money, you know, as far as like saving or budgeting. I grew up watching my mom work 2 to 3 jobs and doing the best that she could with the resources that she had. And sometimes her resource was food stamps. I remember going into the store once. I couldn't have been but maybe 7, 8 years old, with dollar bill food stamps, the paper food stamps, and buying candy with that with my little brother, you know. And I remember just always not having food sometimes, you know, and watching my mom just do the best that she could. But how I interpreted that as an adult was that if you worked really hard, it also took away from your family time. And so as hard as I worked, I would try to give my kids everything I could. There was a lot of shame and guilt about money. And we seem to have like a connection, not just to our own thoughts, but we become attached to our parents and the way society says we should, how we should be living our lives or what that looks like. And I really feel like that if people had the resources and the tools available to them, and can work through the mindset that they could really be financially responsible. It took me years to just learn how to budget, learn how to save, and even to this day, I'm just learning many of the aspects of what I believed money was. You know, you hear all these things about people are greedy with money, the rich take from the poor, all these messages that you hear as a child, only if I won the lottery, we could go to Disney World, you know, all these things that people hear as they're growing up. I know those were some of the things that I heard. And I spent a lot of years with my head in the clouds. I actually would sit down and write out exactly $1 million and what I would spend $1 million on. And I would do that a lot of times. So it wasn't until I started realizing that I had to be the one responsible and make that happen in my life and find the tools that were going to teach me how to better save money and be responsible with money. And so what I'm saying is, you don't have to be stuck in the past from those money stories that you grew up with, whether they're stories that you heard from your parents or teachers. Whoever you heard the stories from, they're not yours. You get to create your money story. And a lot of people are stuck in a lack mindset that they have to work really hard to get the things that they want and then be broke. It doesn't have to be that way. You do have a choice and you have a say in how you get to create your life and the kind of life that you desire. To me, this money story is a really great conversation. And later this summer, or actually more towards fall, we're going to take this conversation to a much deeper level. But I just wanted to give you a little, history of how I grew up. I did grow up hearing stories about rich people take from the poor. And if you live on government assistance, there's something wrong with you. I used to live in trailer parks growing up. And I remember in school, the kids would say that I was trailer trash or white trailer trash. There's a lot of stigma around what poverty means to people. I've even met people who have money throughout the years who share the guilt that they have around having money because they feel like it actually means something about them for having money to someone who doesn't have money. And it's really interesting if you really start to just dig a little deeper into what is called the money story and just get that a lot of that stuff is made up from your childhood. And the stories are probably mostly not yours. You may have your own about lack or, maybe a story like, I don't matter, I don't deserve it, or I'm not good enough, or you have a fear of being successful in your life. Those are the kinds of things that you can work through, just mindset stuff. So what I'm saying is, you have an opportunity to create an abundant life in all areas, including in the area of money. So don't let the old stories keep you from creating a life that you want to create for yourself and your family. There's plenty of resources out there that can help you move through the mindset, help the tools that can help you learn how to finance, budget, whatever you need. Like, there's plenty of resources out there. As a matter of fact, money is just a resource. So I would love to hear your poverty story. What's the smell of poverty mean to you? Or maybe you don't have a poverty story, but you have a story of having money and you found yourself still unhappy and unfulfilled. Maybe you have a lot of money and you don't like to share that because you don't want people to see you as someone as bad. That's not true. You're not. So I would love to hear your stories, your comments. Keep them coming. Just head on over to my Facebook page at A New Day with Susan and share your comments. Contact A New Day with Susan. Email Susan at coachsusanyaki@gmail.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Susan Yockey, is an expert in transformation and mindset. Susan is a motivational speaker, leads coaching programs and online and offline workshops in how to rewrite your history and creating achievable goals so you can live a life created by you. Contact A New Day with Susan. Email Susan at coachsusanyockey@gmail.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Susan Yockey, is an expert in transformation and mindset. Susan is a motivational speaker, leads coaching programs and online and offline workshops in how to rewrite your history and creating achievable goals so you can live a life created by you.